I'm certainly not Dustin, folks. So don't expect that. But why is agape love so difficult? And to begin with, let's take a look at... that's another thing. This little tool. Okay.
Did that do it?
Okay. This is a little definition description that was written by Mr. William Vine that I found on the internet and thought I would cherish as my own here. Christian love has God for its primary object and expresses itself, first of all, in explicit obedience to his commandments. We can't have Christian, we can't have agape love without this being the number one item in this. We can have what we would like to say a giving rather than a receiving love without this being the case. But for it to be Christian love, we must have this. Self-will that is self-pleasing is the negation of love to God. Christian love, whether exercised toward the brethren or toward men in general, is not an impulse from our feelings. It does not always run with natural inclinations, nor does it spend itself only on those for whom we have some affinity and already love. Want you to know that, notice that God is love, and God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And so here, when we talk of love, we are not talking about the noun. We're talking about the verb. It's an action, not something that we feel. It's something we do. Likewise, for Christians, there is always something to be done. So what's our heritage? Well, this is the number one point. We begin our survey of what makes, you know, achieving agape love so difficult. And we started at the time of birth. Because from the moment of birth into this world, we want. And it sets up that pace from then on. The basic instinct that we have is to be happy when our needs are met. The proper duty of our parents is to start getting rid of this. And make that transition from a taking love to a giving love. To make it joyful in your heart to give rather than receive. That should be a duty of parents. Now, how many of you remember that old TV show, Little House on the Prairie? Yeah, everybody remember that? And you had Ma and Pa, you know, Charles and what's her name, whoever that was, and the three daughters, Laura, and, you know, and everybody would go, aw, looking at Sydney Greenbush as she fell in the grass there. You remember that? But you notice that these very down-to-earth, grassroots people took the time to discipline their daughters into that stage because on several occasions it would show them, you know, planning to give their dad or their mother something that was of special interest to them. But you remember there was another character in this movie. Who was that? Do you remember? What? Nellie. Nellie Olson? Was that it? Nellie Olson. And she was just the reverse of that. Because what had her parents done? Well, her mother was just like she was, if you remember. She was just, she had never received it, and so she never taught it. And her dad was too weak and too much of a leave it up to your mother type that anything was ever done for her. And she never received that training. So many of our people come out of the home in this condition. So they never get through that stage, and that makes it extra difficult for those folks to ever get to this point of agape love. Next point. I hope this is the next point. I sometimes forget to change the slides. I have to keep up with that. Otherwise, I have to flip them all through at the end. Who's the prince of this world? And we know it to be the evil one. Ephesians 2. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sin, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. And likewise in John 12, and we see that Jesus said, the voice was for your benefit, not for mine. Now is the time for judgment in this world. Now the prince of this world will be driven out. And I, when I am lifted up, will draw all men unto myself. It's absolutely clear here that there are at least three people right here. Oops, excuse me. At least three people right here that believe that there's a devil. Jesus and John and Paul. Now, if those three believed in it, almost certainly the rest of the disciples did, or the apostles too. Now, if those folks believe in it, it better come across to you and I, we better believe in it just as well. Okay? We also know that not only did Jesus recognize the devil, he knew the devil with his encounter firsthand with him. He knew his power. He knew his limitations. And nothing would please the devil more than if we don't. He just loves it if we don't believe in him. He finds it very gratifying that if we don't realize his power. He finds it very gratifying if we don't realize he has his limitations. Now, I want to emphasize right here, anytime we sin, that does not mean that we have a devil in us. That is not the case. The devil is actually more effective outside the body than he is inside the body. Look at Adam and Eve. He got two for the price of one there. You see what I'm talking about? Outside the body, and he convinces you, you convince somebody else by your very presence. Being inside the body limits him. Usually, the person that has a demon within them always reacted so violently nobody else wanted to even come in contact with him. So don't think that people have demons in them necessarily when they do evil or even when they sin or when they are just make bad choices. That's not necessarily the case at all. We still have freedom under Christ. And certainly, Christ promises us, if we are faithful and just that he is faithful and just to forgive us if we admit our wrongs. That would mean that since we're promised the Holy Spirit would have to jump out of our body and the devil would have to jump in. And then when we confess, the Holy Spirit would have to jump back in and the devil would have to jump back out. That's senseless. That's silly. It doesn't work that way. So we don't have to worry about that. But needless to say, the devil wants us to be as he is, not like God wants us to be. He abhors agape love. And since he abhors it, we better adore it. We better adore it. What's that mean? We better want it. We better want to attain that with all its difficulties. Oops. How far back am I? Okay. Number three. Consider those folks that we are told to love. Whoops, there where that went. Oh, besides the people that we just love naturally, you know. The poor, the beggars and homeless, the widows and orphans. Now, those are pretty easy for us, right? We've got this thing going here. Well, we all find some difficulty somewhere. Those of other nations, you know, we may just have a hang up with, I don't know, Japanese or Chinese, Italians, who knows what. We may have that hang up. But more likely, those of hostile cultures, such as the hostile Islamic folks, several brands of those. Those of various subcultures, street gangs, political parties. Maybe you think that guy down at the Moose Lodge is spending all of his time behind the bar. You know, these are subcultures. Those of various countercultures that we know have immoral codes of conduct. LGBT, the KKK, others. And then always the doctors, lawyers, politicians, tax collectors, and in-laws. I threw that one in. Yes, it was supposed to be a ha-ha. But, you know, we really do give a lot of people grief. And, you know, we call them bloodsuckers or one thing and another, and a lot of times, you know, we need to keep in mind those people we got to love too. You know, even if we just really hate their commercials on TV. And I myself, hey, I'm an in-law many times over. I want to be a good in-law. I try to. But I'm not the best person to be around. I know that. But you know what? My in-laws, through Phyllis, I determined that I was going to like and I was going to love those people. Well, I learned to love them before I learned to like them. And that's a fact. That's a fact. Liking a person is an acquired taste. You know. So a lot of times on our journey to agape love, we want to also just learn to really enjoy people, you know, and accept them as they are. And, you know, by the time her stepfather died, I love that man. I loved him. I like to be with him. He was strange, I'll tell you that. And she'll admit it. You know, he is very strange. But, you know, with quirks aside, I like the man. And so, anyway. In other words, to be like our Lord, we have to love the evil, the disgusting, the degenerate, the decrepit, the immoral, and in general, all those losers whom we could or would never be like, except we were. And without Christ, we still are. Now, if you would, just take a second and make an observation here before the next point. And these are texts that Dustin used last week. 1 Corinthians 13. And now these three remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. And then from 2 Peter, the fifth verse, for this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness mutual affection, and to mutual affection love. First observation I want, notice that both of these lists start with faith and end with love. And I'm convinced all this stuff in between in 2 Peter gives us a hope that we need to carry on. That's our pursuit of that builds our hope. But I want you to look at this list. Does that sound easy? You know, it has a psychological effect in my mind of saying, you ain't never going to get this done, Jack. And so that's the fourth point. Consider what we have to do. It is difficult, and it's probably a never-ending task. For it's the very pinnacle of human achievement. Did you ever stop to think about that? Love is the only thing you get to carry to the other side. Faith and hope you get to leave behind. You don't need those. That's extra baggage. You will take the love with you that you acquired. In our own limited way, then, we are becoming godlike. Is that going to be easy to do? Gee, I don't even know where God, I tell God all the time, I can't even figure out what you are. You know, he's so much superior to us. Can you imagine? I don't know where he is. He doesn't live in a space like we do. He doesn't have to have material things around him like we do. It's a completely different situation. I saw a church sign the other day. In the gist of this, you've got to allow me a little leeway here. But it said, the hardest step in any pursuit is the next one. I thought that was a great thought. You know, we always think, well, I get through this hurdle, I'm on my way. Well, no. Usually, you just have to take one step at a time and brace yourself for the next one and go on. And that's what we do in this very process. So, let me conclude with four things that make achieving agape love so difficult. The way we start life, the resistance of the evil one that we get from him, the disagreeable personalities we have to come in contact with, and then the psychological effect of having something that just seems almost impossible to do. Whoa. Ah, I went too far. Yeah. Well. Okay. So, are there any hints about how to start this thing? Well, there's a lot of good references, and I'll point some of those out at the end. But, and I don't mean this to be at all a complete or even an exhaustive list. It's just some starting points for everybody. Not all of these will be used all the time. Some of them should be used all the time. Constantly ask for God's help through the Holy Spirit. This is a gift that He gives us. Why not use it? Ask for the help of the Holy Spirit in guiding us, making us aware that we need to pursue this. How many of you have seen the new movie, and it just came to my mind? I'm sorry. She's going to get mad at me because I'm getting off track. And she may have to help me remember the name of it. The Battle Room. Is that the name of it? You guys watch it with us. What? The War Room. How many of you have seen that movie? Oh, good, good, good. There's several of you. Great movie, isn't it? Not sure what the main point is, but one of the main points one of the main points comes right up here. You've got to pick somebody. You know, you've got to decide. You've got to make a decision. You got to decide, I want to love this person. Well, in the war room, she had to pick somebody, at least God picked it for her. And she said, this is the person I'm going to pass this off on. And she chose that person and went with it. Great movie, though, if you need a movie to watch. Make a commitment to God that you're going to begin to love that person. Pray to God first, asking for forgiveness for yourself, and then ask God to forgive them as He forgives you. Hopefully, you've already forgiven anybody. But make the playing field level. Make sure you want God to treat them just as well as He's treated you. Ask His blessings for their needs. If they have needs, and if you can know that, try and find out what those are. And if you could administer aid to any of those, physical needs or spiritual needs, however you can do that, take over and work on that with them. Talk to them, show them your concern for physical, emotional, spiritual needs, problems. Listen, 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 listen. Listen more than you talk. Remember, you can't change them and you can't do everything for them. But you've got a friend that can. You've got a friend that can make any changes that they need. As a matter of fact, in this process, realize it's you that's getting changed. It's you that are growing in love. And that's what you're after. Make only limited recommendations. As a matter of fact, let's change that to suggestions. And a good approach to that's always, Oh, hey, you know, I've heard of a friend of mine that had kind of a similar problem. This is what he did. Maybe you might think about that. Pray with him. Be sure to ask for his forgiveness for any sins you may have outstanding. And when I say his, God's. First, and then ask his blessings and forgiveness for them. God's our strength. God's our power. It's not in us. We're not going to do this. And then follow up. This is not a one-time thing. It takes a while to begin to love that person. And you know, one of the best techniques I've found when I really want to learn to love someone, stop on the middle of the staircase and pray for them. Get right down there on the steps and pray for that person. And you'll be surprised how effective that is. There it goes. This is one reference that I used, but you can Google agape love and godly relations in. If you want to copy down this website, I'll be glad to let you do it afterwards. Folks, we have choices that we have to make. We always have choices. And generally speaking, the worst choice that we can possibly make is not to make a choice. That will always come back on us. It's better to make the wrong choice than make no choice at all. Try to make the best one you can. But the fact is, we've got to decide, do we really believe all this garbage we're putting out or not? And you got to go back sometime to square one and say, is this what I really believe? Was this world created or was it something else that happened? You've heard of the Big Bang Theory. Now think about that. What that infers is that there is no such thing as a beginning or an end. Isn't that against the natural law itself? What action have you ever heard of that wasn't spawned by something else? Cause and effect, we call it. Now, there's no certain proof in either case. Faith of some type is always required. But I suggest you think this way. Do you prefer to believe in life or death? When I speak of death, I'm talking about inanimate things, like the sun, the moon, rocks, sand, water, inanimate things. Do you believe that death created death and a system that was organized enough to produce life? Do you like that? Does that even sound logical to you? That death produced more death? And then some way it was able to logically produce life? Or do you believe that it took life to produce life? And in the process of doing that, saw the necessity have innate things brought up? In other words, life created life. I'll choose the life every time, folks. I'll choose the life every time. If you've never studied it this way, if you've never looked at the Bible that way, I suggest you go back and start all over again. Look at the God that we worship today in His Holy Scriptures. See what He wants out of you and I. And then begin to take on those responsibilities. And if you've never named the name of Jesus Christ to other people, think seriously about getting that decision made and done. Your life depends on it. Fulfill this. Name the name of Jesus Christ before people. Confess your sins. Be baptized in His name. You know, I want to preach it the same way that Jesus preached. When He was asked, why should I baptize you? You're God of the world. He said, because I'm here to complete all righteousness. If that's good for Christ, it ought to be good for us. So, if you have any needs at all, if you haven't done these things, or if you just need prayers or whatever, we're always here to serve you, to help you in any way we can. Thank you so much for listening to me today. I hope it's been worthwhile. Thank you.